Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you have already been up for 3 hours or whatever working on your holiday shopping, well, good for you. Good for you waiting in line at JCPenney's or wherever. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard on Saturdays at 4 o'clock, except when we have, like, tomorrow FSU games, but all of the Saturdays. And the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook, watch a movie and talk about it. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. There are still people that wait in line at JCPenney's ever for anything?
No kidding. Absolutely, yes. And Academy Sports, and I assume Best Buy, and I assume Walmart, and, you know, I don't have a chance to go by there. But, yeah, they do.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, obviously you had to drive past JCPenney to get into the...
Yeah, I had to get close enough to see it, right. Oh, just a quick note, because I know we forgot to mention it last time, but what is it that sold out for Pensacon, which you are very heavily involved in? The VIP, is that right? No, what sold out?
Yeah, VIP experience passes are sold out.
Okay.
However, it is Black Friday, and like everybody else, we have a Black Friday special. So if you haven't gotten your weekend passes yet, the regular weekend passes are still available, and you can get a Black Friday discount on those today. If you go through our social media, because I don't have the code in front of me, or I just give the code out on the air.
Okay.
But go to our social media, go to Facebook, go to Instagram. There is a post there that will tell you how you can get that. There's a code that you use at checkout. I want to say that it's Black25, but please double check me on it.
Okay.
Please go over there and get 10% off your weekend passes. This will be the lowest price you'll be able to get them at before before it's gone.
Nice. Outstanding. Okay. Only one real movie's out this week, Zootopia. Is that right? Zootopia 2?
Yeah. Zootopia 2, yeah.
They should have called it Tootopia.
Or Electric Zoobaloo or something like that.
There you go. Yeah. I like that. All right.
Yeah.
Is this the follow-up to the kids movie, right?
Yeah. Because it's been the people that were kids when the first one came out are, you know, about ready to apply for Social Security.
yeah.
You know, that's okay. No, it's, you know, the first one was a great, great movie. It won Academy Award. It is one of the better recent Disney movies.
Is that the one with the DMV and the sloth?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. This movie.
The rookie police officer Bunny teams up with the con artist Fox.
And, yes. Yes. Okay.
You know, they become dear friends, and you know it's a whole thing. So this we're finally getting a continuation of that story, and again, very good reviews on this, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. I had no reason to unlike some of the other sequels we've seen recently where it's been kind of dubious, this one actually looks like it's pretty good.
You know what I would, only because you got me thinking about it, I would love to see a Fantastic Mr. Fox 2, just because the world was so great, the characters, the voicing, the animation, the Wes Anderson of it all, but probably then it would just ruin it for me, so I don't know, anyway.
Well, did you see Isle of Dogs?
No.
Okay, so that is Wes Anderson's second animated film, and it is also a wonderful film.
Oh, okay. ISLE, like Island, Isle of Dogs?
Isle of Dogs, like Gilligan's Isle,
Isle
of Dogs.
All right, I'll have to look that up. Very interesting. What's coming up next week? What are you guys going to watch?
Not sure yet. I've been a little preoccupied because there's been, you know, sometimes there are bigger pop culture things going on than movies, and this week is definitely one of them, and that we got the fifth and final season, the first part, I should say, of the fifth and final season of Stranger Things.
Oh, no, they did a two-part release? Oh, I hate that. Okay.
No, my friend, it is a three-part release.
Oh, God. So it's going to be season five half, season five second half, season five third half.
So we got four episodes that dropped on Wednesday, Thanksgiving. We have another three that are going to drop on Christmas Day. And then the final episode is going to drop on, I believe it's New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I can't remember which, one or the other. So it is another 8-episode season, but it's spread out over a little month-ish.
Okay.
Again, like last season, these episodes are like movie-length episodes.
Okay, so each one is quite long.
Yeah.
So I fell off of Stranger Things somewhere around the third season. You're a huge fan, and how has it paid off?
Yeah, you have made a mistake, my friend. Because the series continues to be strong. They continue to introduce new memorable characters in every episode. We've already gotten a couple of one of them not a new character, but a character that was an infant in the first season and is now, you know, 8 years old or so, who's come to the forefront. And then another brand new character that's another winner in the vein of some of the ones we've been introduced to over the past few years. But continuing to focus on our core group, some really big stuff happens in these first four episodes. If you haven't watched them yet, make sure you do so soon, because the internet is dark and full of spoilers.
Oh, okay. Well, I try to ignore most of that stuff. Well, okay. I mean, I allow myself to make one big mistake every decade, so maybe I'll just have to take that hit. Julio Diaz.
I could go to bigger mistakes than that, I'm sure, but we'll leave it at that.
Only because you've known me so long. Julio Diaz, he's the host of Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock on Saturdays, non-FSU days, and Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Julio, as always, thanks for the time. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
8:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Why does Brother Andrew love Ron DeSantis all of a sudden? Well, find out next in the Transgressive Memorial Service, the late service. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, they're looking good. Not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stores.
The city appears to be ready to.
Engaging podcasts and various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy, who this week admonished airline travelers to stop misbehaving on airlines and in airports and to instead help us return to what he calls the golden age of travel.
Manners don't stop at the gate. Things aren't what they used to be. Some would call it the golden age of travel. Let's bring civility and manners back.
Duffy wants people to stop bickering, stop complaining, stop accosting flight attendants, to put their shoes back on, and to, generally speaking, class up the joint when they fly, returning the country to a time when flying was something only the classy people did.
Help people out. Be in a good mood. Dress up. Bring civility back to travel.
Well, it must be nice to think of the 1950s as the idyllic period we should all want to return to, that bygone era of order and beauty when flying was a luxury only the best people enjoyed. You know, where white men were in charge, women knew their place, and the poor and minorities knew they weren't really welcome on planes. Oh, sure, Duffy couches it all as nice-sounding words like civility and golden and decency, but this is really just white supremacy culture talking. He wants people to dress up and stop wearing pajamas on planes? Must be nice to have enough disposable income to afford both a plane ticket and special flying clothes. He wants people to control their children better? Must be nice to have a nanny who assists with the care of just one or two kids instead of having to manage a half dozen babies by yourself as a single mom after Republicans cut family planning programs and outlawed abortions. Don't be so loud. Don't have so much fun. Sit still and be quiet. You know, like good little clean impressed white children. Always remember what you were taught by Blumfeld's fourth treatise on making everything everywhere all about race all the time. If a white man is lecturing you about behaving better, he's telling you to be more white. Terms like punctuality, civility, good manners, dressing nice, and golden age are all code for white supremacy culture, and don't you forget it. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, surely the highlight of our month was the New York City fashion show put on by designer Michael Schmidt featuring gay-themed rescue wool from homosexual rams in Germany. As some of you know, the practice of sheep farming involves killing the rams who refuse to mate with the ewes, often because approximately 8% of all male sheep are sexually attracted to other males. Horrified by this practice of genocide against gay sheep, a German named Michael Stuckey, someone who was always the rainbow sheep of his own family, founded a nonprofit cleverly entitled Rainbow Wool, whose sole mission is to rescue non-mating sheep and turn their coats into garments of sexual liberation and protest. Schmidt and Stuckey partnered with the gay hookup app Grindr to bring a 36-piece collection of flamboyantly cosplay-themed clothing to a fashion show that became an animal rights story. Cleverly titled, I Wool Survive, Stuckey said the collection proves that being gay is part of nature itself. The wool from these rams isn't just material, it's a message spun from animals who live freely and are loved. Some of the costumes created were of a very gay football player with a midriff-bearing knit jersey, knee-high stockings, a matching jockstrap, and, because accessories matter, a hand-knit football. A gay Roman wearing a white cardigan-textured toga, and an extremely gay medieval soldier wearing a gray knit wool male thigh-length one-piece complete with a gray knit goatee protruding from his stylish coif or headpiece. Honestly, these creations are about the gayest thing I've ever seen. And so much the better for us. As Schmidt even said, he really wanted to lean into the gay. And so he did. So well done, Schmidt and Stuckey, for reminding the world that rams who prefer to ram rams weren't turned gay by a woke culture. They just have softer wool and slightly limper hooves than other sheep and generally enjoy show tunes. Thanks to you, we have some new flamboyant clothes to go clubbing in and a new catchphrase. Ba-ba rainbow sheep. Have you any wool? Yes, they do, and it is super gay. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, we want to say something that will really surprise you. Our highest praise this week, the naturally worn Birkenstock of deodorant-free bravery, goes to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for his proposed legislation related to pet stores. Now, obviously, in an ideal world, animals would not be owned at all because we would recognize ourselves as their caregivers or of companions, not as possessors of property, which animals most certainly are not. And thus, of course, we prefer no pet stores and no people who breed for profit. But even though he's not outlawing pet stores outright, we do want to honor the solid half measures being offered by DeSantis, who otherwise is the physical embodiment of pure evil. His proposed legislation would prohibit abusive breeding practices such as crowded enclosures, exposure to the elements, overbreeding, and undernourishing animals. It would also have a hotline for reporting your neighbors whenever you think they're doing anything wrong with regard to pets and breeding. And you know how we love the ability to report our neighbors. But the real reason we're honoring DeSantis today is his intent to force retail pet stores into promoting shelter animal adoptions inside their own stores.
We also want to require pet stores to offer space to local shelters for adoption before they use space to sell dogs from the puppy mills.
Yes! Stores like Petland would have to feature rescue animals as a preferred option right there in the pet purchase department. He wants to tell these private businesses how they must use their private property for a government objective, promoting pet adoptions. This means forcing a retailer to actually advertise his own competition, and especially when that competitor, the shelter, is offering their product at a massively reduced price. And he wants to compel their speech in promoting adoptions over the purchase of their own bred dogs.
Shelters across the state face overcrowding, and being able to profile these animals at pet stores will help save them from being euthanized.
For a governor who previously claimed to have believed in private property rights, free markets, and free speech, this is an amazing abandonment of his core principles. Imagine requiring Dillard's or Bell's to not only remind people that lots of great secondhand clothing can be found at Goodwill or Waterfront or Teen Challenge stores, but to actually make them offer thrift store clothes for sale within their own floor space? It's audacious and wonderful. And what is so delicious is that he suddenly thinks it's unquestionably obvious that, of course, this is exactly the kind of thing that government should be doing.
Why would we not want to be focusing on helping find people home, find these dogs homes that are in a shelter? That should be the priority one for everything that we're doing with respect to dogs.
If he had merely been suggesting this or encouraging it, that would have been one thing. But to actively use Florida's business regulation and agriculture departments to compel speech, interfere with markets, and coerce the use of private property in this way is something one would previously have thought only our woke-alites of at least the fourth degree capable of. So well done, Governor DeSantis, and welcome to our side. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, one note before you depart. Just remember that ever since 2021, our order has expressly forbid use of the expression Black Friday to describe today. Although most people believe the term refers to the day when businesses move from being in the red or in a deficit for the year to being in the black or making a profit, this is historically false. The truth is that police in Philadelphia in the 50s and 60s started referring to Black Friday as the day when traffic became insane as shoppers flooded downtown to take advantage of the post-Thanksgiving deals. Hence, once again, the day being black meant something bad, just like Black Monday when the market crashed, or black marks against your performance, or being the black sheep makes you an oddball. Since Black Friday derives from blackness as a bad thing, using the phrase is, again, participating in white supremacy culture, which you must not do. Also, referring to a day of big discounts as a black day is just another way of reminding white America that black people are less than, reduced, and an inferior thing, just like the deals today. Black Friday teaches that having a product at a discount, like 3/5 of the regular price, makes it a black price. Just like the Constitution taught that counting people at a discount, like 3/5 of a regular person, made it a black census. So perhaps call it Bargain Friday, or Shopping Friday, or perhaps Rainbow Friday, but never ever refer to it as Black Friday. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I just got the kind of text I always am fearful we're going to get. Somebody says,
"What?
What in the world was that? I just changed the radio station." It's satire.
Oh.
It's satire. Oh, man. Oh, John, I am.
What?
I missed. I hate it when I think of a better line later.
Right.
The line for the middle one about the sheep should have been, "It's super gay."
Oh, my goodness.
I don't, just didn't think of it in time. There's always future revisions that could have had better editing. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. By the way, this is, and since apparently not everybody even knows about this feature and what it means, I don't make up the stories. These are real stories. The wool story, that's a real thing. I didn't make up the I Wool Survive. That was actually the name of the fashion show. Rainbow Wool is the name of the company. This is an actual thing based in Germany. They did an actual show in New York. I mean, like, I don't make up the stories. I just celebrate them because I play woke Pastor Andrew. Anyway, brother Andrew, sorry. And he and his flock of otherin. All right, John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
That's right. I'm still stuck on the wool football. I was trying to figure out how that's going to work yesterday.
I haven't, you know, I haven't had the courage to go back and look. While you're doing track, I'm going to actually look something up real quick. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. We've got no accidents to report to you. Let's see here. Nope. We just lied. Softly Field and Mobile Highway. There's one that just popped up there. No delays in that area. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, it is. See, I didn't look closely enough. The medieval soldier one with the chainmail,
right,
and the little goatee off the front of his headpiece, right? He's carrying a flail or a mace or a morning star, and it's knit also, and he's got a knit shield out of wool too.
Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't just the football. Anyway. All right. Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David? And a knit sword. I forgot. I didn't even see the knit sword. It's all accessories, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, David. What do you got, sir?
Well, good morning. A charge against the man accused of shooting two National Guard members in Washington, D.C. has now been upgraded to murder. This comes after the death of Sarah Beckstrom. The other guardsman shot in the incident, Andrew Wolf, remains in the hospital in critical condition. President Trump says the U.S. could start going after alleged Venezuelan drug traffickers on land very soon. Up until now, military operations have focused on stopping drug boats in the Caribbean. Trump says about 85% of traffickers have been intercepted at sea. The next step he says, is targeting them on land. And Thanksgiving shopping is booming online. New numbers from Salesforce show online spending is expected to reach $8.6 billion this year. That's up 6% from last year. By mid-afternoon yesterday, shoppers had already spent 6% more than they had by that time last year.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. If you're thinking about that next vehicle or just kind of wondering if it's time yet, and look, I mean, it may not be, but if you're thinking about it, that's probably your way of acknowledging to yourself that it kind of is, because, you know, we always put it off, right? Shopping for a car is annoying and time-consuming and stressful, and, you know, so you delay. Well, if you don't love your car, you should have a car you love. Go to Frontier Motors and maybe find one you love. Maybe find one that, honestly, based on the number of repairs you might be doing on an older car, you might actually save some money buying a newer, you know, something that's used gently, you know, 10 to 40,000 miles, 1 to 4 years young. You know, you're going to be the second owner, possibly the third. They're going to warranty it to 100,000 or 10 years, and they're going to take care of you, and they're going to make it easy because they're on your side. They want you to come back and buy all your cars forever from them. Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway.
Fox News, I'm Kathleen Maloney. A sad update on the two National Guard members shot near the White House on Wednesday.
20-year-old National Guard Specialist Sarah Beckstrom died Thursday after being shot by an Afghan national near the White House. 24-year-old Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, who was also attacked, is currently fighting for his life.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer, that Afghan national accused of the shooting, now facing upgraded charges, and President Trump says he'll ban migration from third world countries. A fleet of UPS planes grounded following a deadly crash in Kentucky, not expected to be back in service during the peak holiday season.
UPS says it now expects it will be several months before its McDonnell Douglas MD-11 fleet returns to service as it works to meet FAA guidelines.
Fox's Angelo Bavaro. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got sunshine. It's a beautiful morning here on your Black Friday. 43 degrees and sunshine. Of course, we'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a couple of minutes. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves raising concerns after a sharp rise in crashes at 14th and Gregory. That's right at the bottom of the 3 Mile Bridge. The mayor says removing the old traffic light did improve traffic flow there, but it also sped things up.
Almost like if you were playing a simulation game where you took out a red light and you put in an overpass, well, then what's going to happen? Well, everyone's going to speed up.
And Mayor Reeves says that the area has already seen about 22 traffic crashes this year, surpassing the previous 3 years. He's planning to ask FDOT to have their traffic engineers review the intersection and consider potential options to slow vehicles down or limit access from 14th Avenue. A Milton man is now facing what could be decades in federal prison after admitting to illegally possessing firearms. Prosecutors say 49-year-old Willie Curtis Slack Jr. pleaded guilty after officers found a loaded gun during a traffic stop last October. A later search then turned up two more guns and a large amount of ammunition. Because Slack had multiple prior felony convictions, including violent crimes and drug trafficking, he's barred from having any firearms. Under a federal law, he faces a minimum of 15 years and could get up to life in prison for each count. His sentencing is scheduled for January 13th in Pensacola. An Escambia County man is behind bars with no bond after deputies say he held a woman against her will and assaulted her. The sheriff's office says Andrew Kelly Freeman of Walnut Hill got angry when he couldn't track the woman's phone while she was taking her dogs to the vet. Investigators say Freeman confined her to a bedroom for hours and assaulted her, grabbing her by the hair and throwing her around. She eventually convinced Freeman she needed to leave for a doctor's appointment. Once she got out, she contacted deputies. They documented her injuries and confirmed audio recordings of the incident. Freeman is now charged with false imprisonment and battery. He remains in the Escambia County Jail. Well, for some people, Thanksgiving just isn't Thanksgiving without a trip to Waterfront Mission. In fact, one local couple's been volunteering there for 26 years now, helping prepare and serve thousands of holiday meals. Kevin Hogel says it's the feeling of giving back that keeps him and his wife coming back each year.
Makes you appreciate what you've gotten over the years, and it's good to give back.
This year's was especially important, mission leaders say. The government shutdown created a lot of uncertainty for a lot of families. Waterfront Mission helped to prepare meals for 1,700 people. Most of them were delivered directly to homebound residents through the Meals on Wheels program. And if you'd like to help out for their Christmas meal, volunteer signups open up on December 1st. Now, while a lot of families were relaxing yesterday, watching football and maybe sleeping off the turkey, the UWF Argos were practicing. They've got a big game this weekend, hosting Newberry College from South Carolina in the NCAA Division II playoffs. It's actually the fourth time in 8 years the Argos have spent Thanksgiving on the practice field. Head coach Caleb Nobles, who was UWF's very first starting quarterback in 2016, says the team enjoys the holiday but also stays locked in on the job ahead of the game this weekend. A win tomorrow would put UWF one step away from the semifinals. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 29, 90, 98. I'm seeing no delays in our area. Great news. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Well,
thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Chilly start to your Black Friday in the 30s and the 40s. By this afternoon, partly cloudy skies, high near 59 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 45. Going into Saturday, partly cloudy skies, high near 65. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. As we head into Sunday, we will have a 50% chance of rain with a high near 72. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 57. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
43 and sunshine. Your next news at 9 a.m. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3 in informative, local, dependable.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to New 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line. You heard me right. Here's how. Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, this comes to me by way of John Pickens, my producer. So
You can't blame me.
I'm not blaming you yet. Oh, okay. I mean, if the discussion sucks, I will blame you. But if the discussion is great, you get all the credit. You know,
okay.
Glory or infamy, baby, it's all you. John says that. We had a conversation the other day because he was listening to me talk about what time should Thanksgiving Day dinner be at and what time should Christmas Day dinner be at. And he said, what time is dinner? Don't you mean supper? And that led us to a conversation about the differences between, you know, Northerners and Southerners, or at least Texans, and when is lunch. And John basically said there's no such thing as lunch.
It's dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my question.
Then supper.
Meg.
wait. Lunch is dinner?
Well, yeah. I mean,
here's the question you want to ask. You ready? Here's the question you want to ask, okay? What's the name of the meal at 5 o'clock? 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. And if you like, what's the name of the meal at 1 o'clock or noon? Be sure to include the number in your answer. Otherwise, I won't know what you're saying. And feel free to defend for me if you will. So, John, what's the name of the meal at 5 o'clock?
Oh, that's supper.
And what's the name of the meal at noon or 1 o'clock?
well, it was always called dinner to me growing up. So
so if you're meeting somebody at Cheddar's for noon meal, you're meeting them for dinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I there know it is. Sounds really weird, but, you know, you grew up like that. That's really all you know, you knew.
All you know is mom's cooking and mom's way of describing time frames for the meals, right? So, mm-hmm. All right, 437-1620. And you claim that this was largely a Texas/Southern thing. Now, Meg claims, you know, she identifies as a Southerner, as a Georgian.
Wait.
I do have my Go Dogs gear on, okay? Yeah. Go Dogs beat Tech. What can I say?
So, Meg, what's the name of the meal served at 5 o'clock?
Dinner.
Okay.
I'm laughing because I'm sitting here thinking about it. I've actually never even really used the word supper ever.
But
my parents were also from up north, so to speak. So that could be part of it. But there was breakfast, brunch.
Brunch was the late hybrid in the '80s is kind of when we started to have brunch. Yeah.
And then dinner. But now, John, if you invite me to dinner and you expect me to show up at 12, I'll be meeting you at 5.
Right.
I'll be very confused.
Yeah. Do you call it brunch or Brenner?
Brunch. Brenner. Oh.
Well, think about it. If you're having a meal at 10 and it's got both scrambled eggs and hamburger patties, then
call it good.
Brunch as a term doesn't make any sense to you.
Well, I know, but.
And the turkey sandwich at 9 o'clock is a snack.
Now, there you go. All right. Play outside the game. All right. I like that. Okay. So for you, dinner is at 5 and lunch is at noon or 1.
Right.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. What's interesting,
I haven't used the word supper before, but I know people do, but I've always wondered what is that?
What is that?
It dinner, supper?
Supper. It does sound kind of Southern.
Supper time.
Vaguely. I would never use it to a person in real life, but I kind of, if I'm reading it in some, say, anthropology journal, I know what they're talking about.
But the summertime. The supper time for the end.
And so
now
it's interesting.
Heard what's for supper? And I know what they mean, but I'm still thinking dinner.
Yeah, so John doesn't use the word lunch except to pretend he's not what he is and get along with other people who think of it as lunch.
Well,
right?
You grew up.
Right. Yeah. But we don't use the term supper.
No.
So there's three words, and nobody uses all three of them.
Right.
People use two of them, weirdly depending on your perspective. So 437-1620.
Interesting.
All right, let's look at some of these texts. They use lunch and dinner. Okay. Mm-hmm. So noon and 5 is lunch and dinner. Somebody says 5 p.m. is supper. Supper. Sorry, I said supper. Maybe in your house.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. 5 p.m. is supper. 11 to 2 is dinner. Okay.
If somebody invited me
to go to dinner, I would be. I would never think to show up at 11 a.m. for dinner.
Me too. That's so interesting.
I know.
Thank
fascinating,
you.
Right?
So I knew I wasn't going crazy. Thank
you're not alone.
You're not alone. Supper is after an evening show. Okay.
Oh, that's true too. Now, I have heard that when I lived in New York, we would go to supper after a show.
So you go to the show at 7 or 8.
It'd be 11 o'clock though.
Yeah, so at 11 you're going to get supper.
Totally different kind of reference.
Yeah, that's true. You don't really get dinner at 11 p.m. I mean, I do because it's all kinds of weird times of day. But
now that you say that, I've heard the expression after show supper.
Supper. Okay. All right. Let's see. Somebody says, I sometimes say eat those groceries.
It's time to eat those groceries.
Oh, okay. So this is going to seem like a definitive answer.
Mm-hmm.
Beef. It's what's for dinner. Not it's what's for supper, John.
I know, but that was probably written by, never mind.
No, go on.
No. Beef. I'm going to get in trouble.
But you could say, well, what he means is lunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What he means is a noon meal. Beef, it's what's for dinner at 1.
Yeah. Why not?
So you can make it work for you. All right. This falls into the category of, there's another one that's like this that I just find so fascinating. It's the soda, pop,
Coke
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I must have been in Arizona when I learned about this. So I know there's a soda and pop. You know, some people say soda and some people say pop, and that's fine. What floored me was to learn that some people call all soft drinks a Coke.
That would be me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
So
yes.
You're going to go to the restaurant and you're going to say, give me a Coke, make it a Diet Mountain Dew.
I don't drink Diet Mountain
but
Dew.
But that's what you would say.
But, I mean, you would say, give me a Diet Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't say...
Oh, no, the way I understand it is that there are people who would say, give me a Coke, make it a Sprite.
Oh.
Yeah, you could do, I could see that.
Yeah, I could
say
it, but that's too many words.
Because I'd say, give me a Coke, but I want a Coke Zero. I do say that, actually.
Because I grew up with Coca-Cola.
Because Coke is the generic category that other people would use for either pop or soda or soft drink. And Coke is the catch-all, even though it's also the specific kind.
I never say pop because it always makes me think of popping pimples.
Okay.
Well,
it's a weird
never
connection.
Mind,
but
I know, really lost
so
my...
pop just really sounds weird to me. And soda seems weird, too.
This is interesting. Somebody says, dinner is Sunday only midday. Kind of like brunch is
Sunday
typically
dinner.
A Sunday.
See, now, Sunday
dinner is a little bit different. But I would think of, I would go the other way. I'd say Sunday might be the time you'd use the word supper. It's a little bit more formal in some cases. I mean, not my house, but, you know, some people. Let's see. Carla writes, back in the day, my grandmother grew up on a farm in Iowa. At noon, a huge meal was served to the farmhands, and it was called dinner. The evening meal was supper. We ate linner as the hybrid between lunch and early dinner, but you didn't have a thing called lunch. I'm so confused.
So interesting.
Let's see. After the show in the South means after the first fights during the keg party on the river. We celebrate by drinking more beer. Oh, you know what this reminds me of? I'll tell you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. No accidents on the books right now. We're still rolling delay-free all throughout our area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So I know the absolutists, the objectivists, people who believe in, you know, real truth that's out there that you can touch, then whatever, they are going to hate me saying this, but there is no right and wrong on these matters. It is purely a matter of linguistic habit, and language is evolutionary. Language is always changing, is always adapting, and it's why we have different terms in different regions, different pronunciations, is because the only right answer is the one that people use. And the only true definition of good language is if you effectively communicate with it. Despite what you might say about any other, that's the truth of it. So there is no right answer to the pop, soda, soft drink, Coke kind of. There's no right answer to lunch, dinner, supper. It is what people say.
We grew up with it, but I always feel sorry for people that have to learn English.
Oh, my God.
Can you
it's
imagine
such a
how
hazing.
Confusing it would be?
Such a hazing.
Oh, my goodness.
You definitely know if they say pop, you're not from here.
Oh, somebody says, this is great. What kind of Cokes you got?
There you go.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay.
We're teaching
I was going to tell you.
Andrew.
I was going to tell you. Yeah.
We're teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, but in a totally different domain. We say you drive on I-10 or I-110. If you go to the West Coast, they say on the 10 or the 101 or
the 5,
110 or the 5. Right,
oh,
exactly. That's how they say it. And when I grew up in the Midwest, normal. You say it the way we say it. I moved to California. Well, I moved to Phoenix, and I had to learn to say it their way. Otherwise, you stand out like a weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to unlearn it moving back here because I know the first couple of weeks I was on the air here, I was like, "Oh, on the 110 or on the 10," and I literally had to unlearn that habit because in Oregon, same thing. West Coast, the same thing. Anyway, the thing I was going to share with you is P&J did a cool thing yesterday. Speaking of like throwback stuff, the Shamukla Redneck Christmas Parade that ended, I think the last one was 2014 or 2015. It was the first year or two that I was here. I never got to see this, but they had a bunch of pictures from the archive that they posted. I shared it to our Facebook page, News Radio 92.3. I really wish I could have seen this. Now, I also understand there was maybe not always the best behavior. John Fair?
Yeah.
But the pictures look very entertaining, you know, and the tractors being loaded on top of the tractor.
It was entertaining, all right.
I feel like I missed out on an institution. I mean, when Bubba Bechtol, you know, who used to do this show, right?
I miss
back
Bubba.
In the day. When T. Bubba used to be this guy, but, you know, T. Bubba was the, you know, master of ceremonies, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What did he call it? Bubba Claus, right? When he was Bubba Claus.
Yeah.
I mean, and he'd be the perfect person for it, too. 8:48 on News Radio 92.3. For the people who are listening on Black Friday and not doing other things, I have tickets for you. If you want to go see A Christmas Story, the musical, it's going to be at the Sanger December 2nd or 3rd. I've got a pair of tickets. 7 o'clock place. I think it's 7 o'clock show. Anyway, Christmas Story, the musical at the Sanger. Caller number 3 right now, 437-1620, 437-1620. Call now and win. John will take your call. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, Tuesday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs and find the right insurance products that best fit the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement. Or if you're looking for options now, they'll be taking your calls and questions. Tuesday at 10 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Winterfest in downtown Pensacola continues through the holidays with the Grinch, Charlie Brown, the Polar Express Tour, and so much more. See visitpensacola.com for all the info. The third annual Pensacola Community Outdoor Flea Market is Sunday from 10 to 5 at Community Maritime Park. Get some holiday shopping taken care of and help out Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Submit your event at newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I read that 15 million Americans will eat at a restaurant on Thanksgiving this year. Because when your family starts arguing about politics on Thanksgiving, the first thing you think is, we should be doing this in public.
Good morning, 850 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. We are live on Black Friday, every day of the year except Christmas. And that's our mantra. Every weekday except for Christmas, we are live doing radio for you. I saw this story, and I thought it was fascinating because it was information I had not heard before. You may know. You may not know. I don't know. But the article was how before the Pilgrims, Floridians celebrated the real first Thanksgiving. And it talked, of course, about the Pilgrims in 1621 celebrating Thanksgiving, and us, we tend to think about that. But they say they stole history from Florida. The nation's real first Thanksgiving took place more than 50 years earlier near the Matanzas River. Is that how you say that? Okay. In St. Augustine. And I know we don't want to give St. Augustine any credit, but bear with me. They're Floridians for the moment, okay? When Spanish explorer Pedro Menendez de Avilas and 800 soldiers, sailors, and settlers joined the local Native Americans in a feast that followed a massive Thanksgiving. Kathleen Deegan, a distinguished research curator emerita of historical archaeology at the museum, this is the Florida Museum of Natural History, located at the University of Florida campus, so, you know, a fairly reputable source. And they said, she says, that instead of flat top hats and oversized buckles, conquistadors wore armor, and colonists dressed in 16th century Spanish garments. There wasn't any cranberry sauce or pie, not even turkey. Instead, the meal consisted of, you want to take a stab at this? Anybody want to?
Brisket.
I don't know. Spoken like a true Texan. Obviously brisket. No, not brisket. Anybody else want to, you know?
Fish.
Gator, fried fish, gator, anything? No.
Fish.
They say, let's see, salted pork and red wine shipped from Spain to yucca from the Caribbean is apparently what they ate. She says, the holiday we celebrate today is really something that was invented in a sense. By the time the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth, the people who settled America's first colony with Menendez probably had children and grandchildren living there. So if there was a first Thanksgiving, you know, the Pilgrims discovered it, you know, and people are like, well, you know, Columbus and all that. Okay, but it's interesting because she basically says this was co-opted by fans of the Northeast. They stole it from us. She says that, let's see, the meal probably took place. Actually, this is another resource. Who is this? Gifford Waters, historical archaeology collection manager at the Florida Museum, says that the meal probably took place near the mouth of present-day Hospital Creek on the Matanzas River, where today the Mission of Nombre de Dios and the Fountain of Youth Archaeological Park, the site of Menendez's original encampment in the first colony, are all located. The feast followed a Thanksgiving Mass, which he said was a common practice of sailors after a big expedition. And then there was, okay, besides salted pork and red wine, those in attendance would eat chickpeas for Thanksgiving. Pass the hummus, please. Olives and hard sea biscuits. You are not selling me on this tradition.
No.
I mean, the olives part, that's fine. But hard sea biscuits instead of crescent rolls. The meal may also have included Caribbean foods that were probably collected when Menendez stopped to regroup and resupply at San Juan, Puerto Rico, before coming to Florida. If Timucua, T-I-M-U-C-U-A, contributed, it would likely have been with corn, fresh fish, berries, or beans. Just for a moment, play with me with the idea of the traditional Thanksgiving meal being kids drawing pictures of conquistadors and making fish hats instead of turkey hats, carrying swords, and eating fish, corn, berries, beans, hard sea biscuits, olives, and chickpeas, and salt pork. You can't make it work in your head, can you?
No.
I'm speechless.
No.
And that's very rare.
But just think of where we could be, you know, had it not been for the usurpers from Plymouth trying to tell me that they were the first. And what's interesting about this is how St. Augustine claims that they got stolen glory by the pilgrims, when St. Augustine is the one who perpetrated the stolen glory on us as being the first settlement, right? So I have a little bit of a mixed sympathy for y'all. 8:55 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickett.
For y'all.
Got, I said it. I don't care. I'll blend in. You know, I actually picked up an English accent when I was working in England.
Of course. It's so
you
easy.
Did?
It is easy.
It is so easy.
It is easy. I have a pretty adaptive ear and palate. I'll start talking the way people talk. Mm-hmm. It's not fake. I'm not trying to.
No,
it's just,
no. It's just your ear.
And other people are the exact opposite. Other people... Like, I'm amazed that people, like Malcolm Ballinger, mm-hmm. who've lived in this country for, 30 years, and he still has an accent? And
yes.
I think, wow, how is that possible?
No, if I was in England, yet. I'd probably in about a month, I'd have an English accent.
Whenever I used to go to the South and hang out for a while and go back north, mm-hmm. and what's wrong with you, you know? So,
right.
Or like when we lived here and we'd go back for Christmas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What words are you using? Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
We are still accident-free right now. Also delay-free. Highway 90, 98, 29, I-10, I-110. They all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I was trying to look for, you know, I don't really want to end on a serious note, but... I mean, I have a story that I really don't want to tell anytime, so I'm going to tell it now. This is really kind of a horrid story, but it is also a story about, man, the French are weird. so you can feel a little bit of distance for this story. This is a story that comes out of Paris. There is a human resources director at the French Cultural Ministry, which, if memory serves, the French Cultural Ministry are the ones that are tasked with keeping the foreigners out. Not literally, but keeping foreign influences out of, like, keeping the language pure, keeping the identity of the French culture pure, which, of course, they have a lot of immigrant, but this is long before they even had those issues. You know, keeping it pure from having, for example, English intrude and corrupt it the way in America, we just don't even have a language. Like, all of our language is made up of a mishmash of everything else. So anyway, what this person did, let's see, Christian Negre is the person's name. He would bring interviewees in who were women to interview for a job. And he would slip them a Mickey, you know, or something to drink. But not like you would think. He would give them a really potent illegal diuretic that would make them really, really badly have to go to the bathroom. And then he would, in their coffee or their tea, and then he would immediately take them outside for a stroll away from any restrooms. So that they would basically, it was doing it like a psychological experiment to see if they would, you know, go in nature or tell him or, and I, this is why I tell you, this is kind of a horrid story.
How do we go from food to this?
This
sounds
was on
really
my,
sick.
This
to
was
me.
On my list and it was such a weird thing. I just,
okay.
Sometimes, it, right. or even like urinate on themselves, like was part
oh
of
my
like,
God,
and he's,
sick.
And he got, you know, found out about this and women, because some of the women, you know, I guess most of them kept it to themselves and didn't tell anybody because it was embarrassing. And they didn't, of course, know that they were poisoned by him to do this.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's been known since 2015 and he still has not faced, or 2019, he's been indicted and he still hasn't faced a trial for this. But what a horrid, like, it is sometimes hard to wrap your brain around where people are and what makes them tick and, you know, people do awful things, but this is one of those, what in the world is wrong with you? Horrible. And I get why, you know, women to be scared about drinks and all this kind of stuff, because God knows, you know, monsters like this exist. Okay, so happy Black Friday.
yeah.
On that note.
Wow, Andrew.
I don't know what to tell you. Hey, it's France. They do weird stuff to
you have a good
with.
Weekend.
I mean, it's the French. Yeah. Go Argos. man, I don't want to be set up for disappointment, but I do believe the Argos have a really good chance of winning. But we have had troubles all year. Not just this game, but like throughout. We've had kicking problems and we've had penalty problems. We have a great team if they can avoid the kind of mistakes that have plagued. And if, you know, so if the best Argos team shows up, we'll win it all. And if the other team show up, well, you know,
we'll coin see. Flip.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and here's hoping for the best. And I like that they were practicing. You know, Caleb really wants to win. I love that, you know, first quarterback, and he was named the, you know, quarterback of the year for our region. And I would love to see him win a championship. That'd be the second coach to win a championship. Of course, you know, originally Coach Shinnick won the first one back in 2019, if I remember correctly. Let's see. Somebody says St. Augustine is trying to do the first again while ruining the holiday meal all at one time. So it says, so the first Thanksgiving meal was after the discovery of fire. Brontosaurus burgers for everybody. That's funny. And, somebody says they're related to Kathleen Deegan, the historian we were just talking about. Local.